Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Dublin Unitarian Church this morning, including those of us joining on the webcam and those listening to the service on our website. I invite you to be sure that your phone is set to silent or do not disturb. So it's really a pleasure to be here this morning. My name is Amy Panetta, and I'm an American-Canadian Unitarian Universalist lay worship leader. About 18 years ago, I first attended this congregation and then attended more regularly when I was a student at the University of Limerick from 2009 to 2010. So returning here feels especially meaningful. I want to welcome Kristen Rain Springer today here as my longtime friend and vocalist this morning. So now I will light the chalice, which is lit everywhere Unitarians gather in prayer, celebration, searching, and love. For the chalice lighting this morning, I have the following words. Quote, humankind has not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together. All things connect. Unquote. That's from Chief Seattle, 19th century indigenous leader in the Pacific Northwest. And I have a prayer for you this morning. This is by John O'Donohue. It's called Unwaking. I give thanks for arriving safely in a new dawn, for the gift of eyes to see the world, the gift of mind to feel at home. In my life, the waves of possibility breaking on the shore of dawn, the harvest of the past that awaits my hunger, and all the furtherings this new day will bring. And I would like to invite you to join in song for our first hymn, number 38, Morning Has Broken. And now our first reading will be read by Allison. I invite her to come forward now.
Morning, everybody. Yesterday, June the 13th, was the third anniversary of Dublin rock legend Christy Dignam, who died at the age of 63 from a rare form of blood cancer. Christy grew up in Finglas on the north side of Dublin, and he said that all he ever wanted to do from childhood was to sing. He studied classical bel canto singing before going on to form the iconic Dublin band, Aslan, who took their name from the lion character in the C.S. Lewis books, The Chronicles of Narnia. He married his childhood sweetheart, Catherine, in 1988, and she remained his constant support and love throughout his checkered life. He overcame many battles throughout his life, such as drug addiction, sexual abuse by a neighbour as a child, and a debilitating bouts of depression. Their daughter Ciara was born in 1989, and a few years later, during a particularly dark period of his life with drug addiction and depression, he realised he couldn't even care for himself, let alone keep his daughter safe in an unpredictable, chaotic and crazy world. Out of this low, he wrote the song Crazy World, and it was a knockout hit for Aslan in 1993. The first line, he asks, how can I protect you in this crazy world? But he goes on reassuringly and says, it's all right, it's all right. He continues to reflect on his life of chaos and mistakes with the lines, I have fallen down so many times, don't know why, don't know where, don't care less, it's all the same. So with this feeling of emptiness and isolation, he says, can you hear the sound of nothing? Nothing. Then continues, love is blind, love is real. Don't you know that love is what you feel? And so it is love that is the answer to the question, and it is all that we can do and give. What should be a depressing, hopeless song echoing our fears and the feeling of helplessness to protect those we love in such a crazy world, we instead find ourselves singing along with Christy to the upbeat refrain, "It's all right, yeah, it's all right." So thank you, Christy Dignam, for following your dream to be a singer and for writing such honest and heartfelt songs.
Love is real.
You might already know that today is our Sunday club, so any children who are here of any age can join me up here in our front pews. And of course, it's nice to meet you. My name is Amy. So I'd love for us to just use our imaginations this morning and see if you can envision, first thing in the morning, a spider web that is covered with dew. It's almost like invisible, but it's still there. And if you look at it right, you can see it in the light or the little misty drops of dew that collect on the web. And you can think about that. And if you touch it, everything moves, right? Even in the smallest places, the slightest touch can really change things. So I think about that as a really important metaphor, like human life. What we do to each other ripples out and affects each other. So if someone is nice to me and kind to me and generous to me, it really affects me in positive ways. And I think you might feel that same way too. I have a book today, and it seems maybe very simple, but the simplest things can be the most meaningful, I think. And it's called The Peace Book by Todd Parr. And you can think, I would love for children of any age and all ages to let me know afterwards, what are your favorite things that make you feel peaceful? I'll call on a couple of people. So this is the book here. Peace is making new friends. Peace is keeping the water blue for all the fish. Peace is listening to different kinds of music. Peace is saying you're sorry when you hurt someone. Peace is helping your neighbor. Peace is reading all different kinds of books. Peace is thinking about someone you love. Peace is giving shoes to someone who needs them. Many shoes, many different colors too. Peace is planting a tree. Peace is sharing a meal. Peace is wearing different clothes. Peace is watching it snow. I certainly do that a lot where I live in Canada. Peace is keeping the streets clean. Peace is offering a hug to a friend. Peace is everyone having a home. Peace is keeping someone warm. Peace is new babies being born. Peace is being free. Peace is traveling to different places. Peace is wishing on a star. Peace is being who you are. Peace is being different, feeling good about yourself, and helping others. The world is a better place because of you. So, do you have any special favorite peaceful things that you appreciate? I know my favorite peaceful thing is chocolate. Yeah. Books. Yeah. Books. I love bookstores. They're like church to me. Yes.
Playing.
Playing? Fantastic. Is there anything you like to play with, especially? Dungeons and Dragons is definitely peaceful. It's fantastic. I appreciate that a lot. Anybody else? Anybody who's not sitting on this pew? Yes?
Planting flowers.
Planting flowers. Well, that's fantastic. So thank you so much for, and take that with you, that feeling of what makes us peaceful and brings us to a more kind of whole state. So thank you so much. And our children can go downstairs for Sunday Club. And nice to meet you today. Our second hymn, number 21, For the Beauty of the Earth. So today I brought a little bit more indigenous wisdom here. This is from Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. What would it be like to be raised on gratitude, to speak to the natural world as a member of the democracy of species, to raise a pledge of interdependence? No declarations of political loyalty are required, just a response to a repeated question. Can we agree to be grateful for all that is given? Cultures of gratitude must also be cultures of reciprocity. Each person, human or no, is bound to every other in a reciprocal relationship. Just as all beings have a duty to me, I have a duty to them. If an animal gives its life to feed me, I am in turn bound to support its life. If I receive a stream's gift of pure water, then I am responsible for returning a gift in kind. An integral part of a human's education is to know those duties and how to perform them. We are all bound by a covenant of reciprocity. Plant breath for animal breath, winter and summer, predator and prey, grass and fire, night and day, living and dying. Water knows this. Clouds know this. Soil and rocks know that they are dancing in a continuous giveaway of making, unmaking, and making the earth again. The moral covenant of reciprocity calls us to honor our responsibilities for all we have been given, for all that we have taken. It's our turn now, long overdue. Let us hold a giveaway for Mother Earth. Spread our blankets out for her and pile them high with gifts of our own making. Imagine the books, the paintings, the poems, the clever machines, the compassionate acts, the transcendent ideas, the perfect tools, the fierce defense of all that has been given. Gifts of mind, hands, heart, voice, and vision, all offered up on behalf of the earth. Whatever our gift, we are called to give it and to dance for the renewal of the world in return for the privilege of breath. I invite you now to sit comfortably for our time of meditation. So you can take a few cleansing and grounding breaths. Feel the pew that is beneath you. Feel your feet grounded on the floor. You may close your eyes if you wish, or simply soften your gaze. Take a slow breath in and another. Notice the sound of breathing in this room. Notice that even silence is shared. As we sit together this morning, I invite you to think about the people, places, and experiences that have shaped your life. Perhaps someone who encouraged you, someone who challenged you, someone whose kindness stayed with you long after they were gone. Think too about the unseen connections in your life. The farmers who grew your food, the workers who build the roads you traveled, the ancestors whose choices shaped your existence, the teachers, the musicians, caregivers, laborers, friends, and strangers who became part of your story without ever fully knowing it. We are each made of countless connections. And perhaps wisdom begins when we finally recognize that independence has always been at least partly, an illusion, because we belong to one another. And we also share with each other in joys and concerns, and I want to acknowledge in our silence now any joys that resound in your heart, any concerns that weigh very heavy on your heart. You can think about that in the silence that we now share for a few moments. May it be so, and blessed be. Now let our silence here transition to music. We'll be listening to the beautiful song called From a Distance, sung by my longtime friend Kristen Rainspringer and Josh Johnston on piano. Also a longtime friend, too.
Distance, the world looks blue and green.
Thank you so much for that beautiful musical meditation there, Kristen and Josh. Really appreciate that. One of the things I appreciate most about Unitarian Universalism is that we recognize the interdependent web not simply as an idea, but as a lived reality. Our lives shape one another constantly, sometimes in dramatic ways, but more often in small, almost invisible moments that only reveal their importance years later. And I've been thinking about that deeply as I prepared for this service. Because when I was younger, I never could have predicted that I would one day be standing here speaking in Dublin. The web that has brought me here was made of tiny threads, some intentional, some accidental, some musical, and some deeply human. Years ago, back in 2008, as a young adult Unitarian Universalist in the United States, in the New York area, I came to Ireland for the first time. This kind of travel, honestly, was not especially common in my family for a young woman to travel internationally, even though I was fully an adult. I would often get questioned, why Ireland? As if going to this beautiful island wasn't enough. But I did have a few different reasons. One was that I was collecting field recordings of people singing Irish children's songs. I had been taking a course that involved creating my own personal folk song collection to utilize in my classroom back in New Jersey, where I was a music teacher at the time. But underneath that one practical explanation, something deeper was happening. I was searching. I was pilgrimaging. And like many young adults, I was trying to figure out who I was becoming. Before arriving in Ireland, I reached out to this church community through email. I was, of course, interested in attending a service, but I had wondered if there was anyone who could sing some Irish children's songs for this project. First, I had heard from Reverend Bill Darrelson, the retired minister here at the Dublin Unitarian Church, as well as Josh Johnson, your director of music. And generously, Reverend Darrelson offered to make an announcement at Sunday service for anyone who was attending the church to stay after service to sing a song. So after the service, we met downstairs in the library and moved to the stairwell where I heard that the acoustics were good. Just imagine that for a moment. A visitor from another country arrives and is greeted with warmth and welcome and serenaded. And one of the two people who stayed and sang happened to be Fergus Whelan. And Fergus sang for me a rebellion song, mostly in Irish, written by someone telling the story of this particular battle of the rebellion of 1798 called Sliabh na Mann. Afterward, through email, Fergus shared with me a packet of song lyrics and information where this song was included to commemorate the anniversary of Robert Emmet, the legendary Irish rebellion leader of 1803, whose signature you have framed on your back wall here, besides the organ. And of course, around the corner, his statue stands in St. Stephen's Green. Now, here's the important thing. I don't think that Fergus had any idea that this moment would remain with me for years afterwards and actually have an impact on others, too. I doubt he woke up thinking that morning, today I shall unexpectedly alter the direction of a young American, a Unitarian, today. That would be a very ambitious and specific Sunday morning mindset. But something opened in me during that moment. It was the song, the history, especially the emotion behind this lament. The idea that music carries memory across generations. And it stayed with me. And it was passed on to others. Every march, as is popular in the United States or in Canada, whenever I had a classroom of students, I would share a recording of this song sung by Fergus in my classroom. And later, when I studied ethnomusicology at the University of Limerick, because Ireland kept calling to me, like, oh, I gotta come back to Ireland constantly. So I studied ethnomusicology from 2009 to 2010 at the University of Limerick. I eventually found myself researching songs connected to Robert Emmet, written by Thomas More, the lyrics, that is. The thread that began in 2008 continued into 2009, 2010, and every year I had a classroom of music students. I would play or teach Irish songs that I had collected. Well, of course, sharing an Irish rebel song for the American primary classroom might be a little much. I was able to teach a bit about how Irish Gaelic is the traditional language of Ireland and provide the students with the listening example provided by Fergus. And later in March 2023, when I was a lay service leader at the Unitarian Church in the Eastern Townships of Quebec, I discussed the story of how the congregants of the early incarnations of the Dublin Unitarian Church planted the seeds of Irish independence. One small moment became another, a conversation became a project, a song became a doorway in a way, and that to me is the interdependent web. Not merely that we coexist, but that we continuously shape one another in ways that we may never fully understand, and we pass things along. What if Fergus had stayed home that morning? What if he decided he didn't feel like singing? Human life is full of these fragile turning points we only recognize in hindsight. And I think many of us can identify moments like that in our own lives. A teacher who encouraged us, a friend who invited us somewhere, a community that welcomed us, a single conversation that changed our direction. Sometimes we imagine history as something shaped only by famous people or large events. But often history moves through ordinary human relationships, through hospitality, through courage, through participation, through showing up. And years later, another thread entered my life through Unitarian Universalism. A friend of mine, of course, Kristen, who's here today, I met through the young adult UU community associated with All Souls Unitarian Church in New York, in that larger sort of metropolitan New York area. And again, we discovered these strange and meaningful overlaps, shared interests in spirituality, music, earth-centered traditions, community. We shared ideas, supported one another creatively, and here we are now. All these years later, metaphorically holding our own strands of the web together once again, and physically coming together in this place here in Dublin. And interestingly enough, both of our lives eventually took similar turns. We both find ourselves living outside the U.S., with me just above the U.S. border in Quebec, Canada, and Kristen here in Ireland. Life moves people in so many different ways and in so many different directions, but it was also connected to something deeper. Over time, I increasingly felt a growing discomfort with the direction of life in the United States. And I suspect many people, whether in America or elsewhere, understand that feeling right now. There are moments in history when societies feel strained, more uncertain, more fragmented, more divided. And one of the things the interdependent web teaches us is that these pressures do not remain isolated. They ripple outward. Fear spreads, cruelty spreads, extremism spreads. And so does loneliness. Even across oceans, people feel the emotional weight of what is happening elsewhere. Just as kindness, hospitality, and generosity are reflected in our interdependent web, the web reflects this division and cruelty. Recently, I experienced another reminder of how interconnected our lives really are. I live just above the border in Quebec, but on Fridays I teach piano lessons in a small city in northern Vermont. It's one of those classic New England places where the churches all sit near and around one another near the center of town, and they're all lined up on Church Street, and they live up to that name, of course. So I teach in one of those churches there. A few days before one particular Friday, I learned that there was going to be a large demonstration downtown, and roads near the church would likely be blocked. And suddenly I found myself thinking through all the practical ripple effects. Would families be able to reach lessons okay? Would there be enough parking? Would traffic become unsafe? Were the worries people were expressing on Facebook warranted? Would I need to cancel? Could I afford to cancel? Because when you're self-employed, missing even one workday can matter financially. I was able to reach out to a parent of one of my students to see if I could use her church down the street to ease things a little bit, which, when you think about, it's its own small example of the interdependent web, a network of relationships where trust and rapport are built over time, and thankfully I was able to adapt. But the experience also made me think more deeply, because while I was thinking about logistics of rerouting piano lessons for a day, the people gathered at that protest were carrying much heavier fears and reflecting the lived realities that people are facing now that are reshaping people's lives in often unsettling and disturbing ways. And I found myself thinking about families trying carefully to follow legal immigration processes, people filing paperwork, attending appointments, trying to build stable lives. And then suddenly being detained, separated, uprooted, and thrown into frightening, uncertain, and potentially dangerous situations. The disruption I experienced was temporary and manageable, but for many people, the consequences of political decisions are life-altering. Families are torn apart. Communities are destabilized. Lives are in limbo. The interdependent web encompasses all of this. The choices made in Washington ripple outward into small towns, schools, churches, houses of worship, workplaces, and homes. The web carries consequences outward in every direction, and whether we like it or not, we are bound together inside those consequences. And I think this is where the idea of the interdependent web becomes even more than just a comforting slogan, because if we truly believe our lives affect one another, then we also inherit responsibility. How we speak matters. How we treat vulnerable people matters. What we normalize matters. What we remain silent about matters. The web reflects all of this, but thankfully darkness is not the only thing that spreads. Courage spreads too. Compassion spreads. Communities that care and take a stand make a difference. And honestly, one of the things that has continued giving me hope throughout my life have been supportive communities. Communities that serve as spaces where transformation becomes possible. At times, a church service may start to become routine to the people organizing, and you just get in the habit of arriving in the morning and getting set up and all that. But someone quietly sitting in the back row may remember that morning for the rest of their lives. We rarely know when we're becoming part of another person's story. I hope that this realization brings a sense of appreciation for this kind of influence that we can have. Influence that is intentional and compassionate, because even small acts ripple outward. And so many actions that we take on a daily basis, large and small, mean so much. And perhaps one of the deepest spiritual truths within the interdependent web is this. We belong to one another, whether we recognize it or not. Our lives leave impressions on other lives, and what a sacred responsibility that is. May we continue building communities where people feel welcomed, inspired, challenged, and connected. May we continue creating spaces where music, kindness, memory, justice, and compassion move from one life into another. And may we never underestimate the power of simply showing up. Amen, and blessed be. Now I would like to invite you to sing number 175, We Celebrate the Web of Life. Just the notices this morning. Thank you to everyone who contributed to our service. After our service today, please join us downstairs for tea and coffee. Our weekly service of reflection in the church continues this and every Wednesday from 1:05 p.m. to 1:35 p.m. The next Heart and Soul session will be on this Monday, the 15th of June at 7:30 p.m. in the vestry. Please reserve your space with Sherry. A notice for Sunday Club parents and volunteers. There will be another meeting today in the vestry after the service with Reverend Gavin. This Midsummer's Day, Sunday, 21st of June, the Mind Travels duo, Mark Hutchinson and Josh Johnston, will present a new suite of reflections entitled The Wheel of the Year in the Cobblestone at 5 p.m. All are welcome. Our book club is reading You Are Here by David Nichols this month, and they will meet on the last Wednesday of the month at 7:30 p.m. in the vestry, which is Wednesday, the 24th of June. Those who wish to march in this year's Pride Parade, which is on Saturday, the 27th of June, please put your name and number on the sheet here. There's a little rainbow in the corner. You could sign it after the service. The parade will begin on O'Connell Street at 12:30 p.m. We will assign a meeting spot for all of us. We will march, as in previous years, behind our beautiful pride banner, declaring that we believe that a person's gender and sexuality is something to be respected and celebrated.
Just to remind you that the walking group has a walk this Saturday, and the details will be put up on the WhatsApp group. It's going to be to the lead mines, but after Frank and I do the recce tomorrow, we'll put up the details. Thank you.
And at this time, I invite you to sing our final hymn, Blue Boat Home. The lyric sheet is in your hymnal there. As we extinguish our chalice, may we remember the flame of life in all things, the bright center of our planet, the star that lights our world, and the way those points of brightness connect within us and within all things. May we carry the light, may we share it freely, may we find it everywhere. Amen and blessed be.